ungodly men turn the grace of God into lewdness. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 383. It is January 29, 2016. We begin now the lengthy description that the brother Judas gives us of the men who must be marked and stopped in the Church of Jesus. I hope you're understanding that that's why he's writing this letter, that these men will be exposed, that they will be known by the church for who they really are. And we're starting with verse 4. Let me read verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's our introduction to the seducers. And really the rest of the book, the rest of the letter, is about these guys. You'll have different things that he will bring in as evidence, but it's just one long list of what to look for when you're looking for a seducer in the church. Now, these men were in the church, you understand, but they were not of the church. They weren't church, really. They had crept in, like a thief creeps in. They were sly, stealthy in their entry. They were unnoticed by the church because they were so slick in their relationships. So close at times in their professions of belief, I'm assuming. They could worship along with the best of them. They became trusted members, even asked to share the word from time to time. And little by little, the people's faith was being adulterated. Now, I've seen this kind of thing happen. A pastor wanting to give some leeway, some training time to the people in the church that need to, excuse me there, and that need a little extra, you know, a little extra help in ministry. And so he lets them stand in front of the church and they overlook some of the strange things that the person will say, which is okay if you're in a tight-knit group and everybody there is mature. But in a regular church, and not everybody's mature. So they're listening to the trainee, and they're picking up some of the garbage that he's throwing out, too, because he hasn't learned that much. He probably never will. So they're slick, and they can worship, and they're trusted. And the people are slowly going after these guys. The church is changing. No longer concerned about the things that concern God, but the things that concern men. Wealth and power, pleasure, food, this world, this life, our bodies. Isn't that what the false teachers usually put before you when they're teaching you? Long ago, it says, long ago, Jude says, God had placed his plan in their hearts. I do apologize for my computer. It's being very aggressive this morning. I hope you're not hearing all that, but if you are, our apologies. Whomever he wills, God calls to his side, and whomever he wills, he hardens. Aren't these the words of Paul? Remember, we talked about this before. I'm reading Jude. Now, long ago, these men were marked out for this condemnation. One could say maybe it was only their condemnation that was planned by God, but Jude says it was the men who long ago were marked. Marked men. Wasn't Cain a marked man? Wasn't the original Judas that everybody knows, wasn't he a marked man? Haven't there been Judases in the church from then until now? Traitors? Thieves? Why does God allow them in? Why does the church allow them in, we should say? Why does God allow them even to come to our door? Not temptation, this we know. God cannot tempt us to evil, but testing, yes. Straining, dividing wheat from chaff, and purposes far beyond our power to discern, but this we know, they're in the church. And as long as there is a church in this world, there'll be agents asked for by Satan. Understand, I know who the enemy is. God is not our enemy. And it's Satan that is trying to get in the church and finding men that he wants in the church. He has his own plan. And God seems to grant it. Does grant it. Grants men to come in, especially when the church is not watching, praying, caring, wanting to be holy. God gives them permission to come in and to hurt and to destroy churches, nations. That's how it works when people aren't watching. And when the church of Jesus Christ is not destroyed, God himself will receive all the glory, for he shall be able to point to the victories he has wrought through his Spirit. Yeah, it's all about him eventually. May your church and mine be among those who bring him glory. He is what it's about. Judas, or Jude, if you prefer, now begins his lengthy description of these awfully evil men and their actions, these snakes of Satan, these antichrists, but in Christian garb. We begin the list right here. Here's number one, ungodly men. This is in verse 4. Certain men have crept in. Ungodly men. This is a description. Church members, ungodly. You know any? God's not in their life almost all week long, if at all. But for one reason or another, they show up in church every week, making business deals. You've heard it. I've heard it. Talking sports. Eating their food, going after the women, or specifically to degrade the teaching ministry with subversive doctrines of their own. They're the opposite of godly, meaning filled with God, loving God, serving God 24/7. These are ungodly. They're serving themselves. They're caring about themselves, not about God. Do you know the difference? When you see the people in your church, don't become critical and judgmental. But is somebody standing out to you right now as you think about this? Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. That person really brings the flesh to church and magnifies the flesh. Number two in this description list. They turn the grace of God into lewdness, lasciviousness, fleshliness. This heresy has come all the way down from the days of the apostles, just as surely as the apostles' teaching has come down. There's always been fleshly people. And doing it and being fleshly in the name of the grace of God. The grace of God is, they say, that God has saved you freely. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Well, that's all true. It's a free gift of God. By grace, you are saved through faith. And all of that, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. All true, all true. The false teacher adds a therefore to the passage. He puts a conclusion on to what we've just been saying. Therefore, because of the grace of God, of course there is no therefore in this text, therefore, they say, live it up. Live it up. Enjoy. You're free. Hey, God wants you to live abundantly. Live as you please. Eat all you want. Buy anything you want. You're free. Rise to fulfill all the dreams of your little heart. I've heard this so many times. People talking about fulfilling their dreams. God wants you to fulfill the dreams of your life. Do you know what the dreams of your life are? They are to serve you. Your dreams in your natural man are to take care of you. Oh, I want to be president. That's because you want power. Oh, I want to be a movie star. That's because you want attention. There's a lot of reasons why we do the things that we do, but they all come back to us. Eat, drink, be merry. So the grace of God is now naked lust, if you look at it. To them, I'm not talking about in reality, but I'm talking about to the false teacher, this kind of false teacher. The grace of God is just lust. That's what the text says. The grace of God is turned into lewdness. God says we're free, so let's be free. Oh my. Oh my. No, if there's to be a therefore in the statement, let it be the one that was given by Paul in another statement. You were bought with a price, the very blood of the Son of God. Therefore, live it up? No. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Grace demands a holy response, not a fleshly response. But that teaching has come to us. It's still here. And it'll probably be around a long time because our bodies are always here. Anything that pleases our bodies must be God. God wants me to live abundantly. And then the third item in the list. And there are many, many items. So just stand by. We got a bunch of them. This is just number three. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's fascinating wording that points to the deity of Jesus right here. God in heaven is the only Lord, right? Wouldn't you say? The only one we should call Lord, the God of heaven. He's Lord of all. He created all. And then it says, and our Lord, and Jesus Christ. Who is this claiming the title of Lord when we just said God was the only Lord? Well, Jesus must be what? He must be God. He must be holy like God is. He must be one with this Father because there's not two items of worship. It's one God that we serve. But not in the heretic's eyes. Jesus is just a good man to him with some inspirational teachings, who is loved by his followers. And by the way, he wanted us to be free. He was a good man. He was free himself. He was nice. He was gentle. Blah, blah, blah. But they don't tell the rest of the story. No, when it comes to the death and resurrection, they would even put those aside, and many of them would deny the basic parts of our faith, the essentials of our faith, that Jesus did die on a cross and that he rose from the dead. To deny who Christ is a tragic mistake, Mr. Muslim, Mr. Mormon, Mr. Jehovah Witness, Mr. Armstrongite. It's an awful, awful thing to deny who Jesus is. Because you've come against God himself when you do that. And Jude, in his little 25-verse letter, is calling them out. We've only gotten to verse 4. There's a lot more he's going to do with these false teachers. You'll never want to touch falseness again when you get done with this letter. It's a holy book, as the whole 66 of them are. It's a holy document that you're listening to right now. We'll get to verses 5 to 7, Lord willing, starting on Monday. Thank you for being here today. I'd like you to email me at bob.j.faulkner.72. I know that's a strange email address, but so be it. bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Or you can send me a voicemail or text at 847-852-6873. Ask me a question, perhaps from Genesis, because we are going to get back there, or anything that's on your mind. Or suggest another topic for study. I've got to warn you, though, we're backed up. Or you can give me a prayer request. I like praying for people. Or just say hi. Just say hi. It's always good to hear from you. God bless you today. Tomorrow's our break day, and then Sunday, back to These Are the Generations by Eric Foley, talking about a family who for the past generations, grandfather, child, grandson, all followed Jesus in the midst of the darkness that is North Korea. Great book. Stay with me on Sunday, and then we'll get back to Jude, Lord willing, on Monday. Remember where we started today, a warning, Jude chapter 1, the only chapter, verse 4, ungodly men turn the grace of God into lewdness. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.